Word of God to Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, and we're studying this evening verses 1 to 9 under this heading. Uproar at Ephesus, or Thessalonica rather. Uproar at Thessalonica. Chapters 16 through to 19 show us how the gospel made progress through the Greco-Roman world. And Luke records how people reacted to the gospel, how both belief and unbelief actually assisted in extending the knowledge and spread of the gospel. And memorable phrases are coined, often, of course, created by those who were opponents of the gospel and of those who preached it. So there were forms of abuse which became, I suppose, badges of honor. Out of the events at Thessalonica, a congregation was established to whom Paul wrote two epistles. And if we turn for a moment to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, reading verses 5 to 10, Paul describes something of the origin of this congregation. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for a Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And if you want to know more about this congregation at Thessalonica, then read these two epistles and you will learn yet more regarding the origin of this congregation. I want this evening then just to go through these nine verses bit by bit under these five headings. First of all, the course which Paul followed. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. We are now familiar with this policy adopted and used by the apostles, that in every city they went to the synagogue. And the fact that the synagogue of Thessalonica is singled out would appear to indicate that there was no synagogue at the previous two places mentioned. But there are three things that I want to remind you of in relation to this course. First of all, it was a deliberate course. This was not a haphazard journey. In chapter 13, verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. Here you see it was a deliberate policy. It was a divine policy. God had set this course for them. Indeed, if we go back to chapter 3 of Acts, Acts 3 verse 26, we have the same phraseology unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. To the Jew first, which is what Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and in the verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So it is a deliberate course, not haphazard. But then secondly, a salvific purpose. Note again chapter 13, verse 46. But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So there's a salvific purpose. The gospel is sent to the Jews, which when they reject, is sent immediately to the Gentiles. We have noted this on previous occasions, how in town after town, this is made clear to the unbelieving Jews. The moment you reject us, here's what happens. We turn to the Gentiles. Why? That everlasting life would be announced to them. The same message, but now to the Gentiles. And thirdly, a theological rationale. Verse 47 says, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Here in this 13th chapter, verse 47, the apostle is quoting Isaiah 49, verse 6. And what he is telling us is that he is God's servant, because the context is about being the servant of God. So Paul, as God's servant, is to bring salvation to the Gentiles. So there's a theological rationale in this course that Paul and the others are following. But then secondly, the central truth Paul preached. The central truth which Paul preached. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. 2 aspects to this. First, the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the central truth that is to be preached to the unconverted. The death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is one of those occasions when we must have a quick or brisk stroll through the book of Acts just to verify and demonstrate this. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Chapter 3, verse 15. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Chapter 4, verse 2. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Verse 10. Be it known unto all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Chapter 5, verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a saviour. And then if we move on over to chapter 10, we don't have to do every chapter, but sufficient to demonstrate that this was a central truth. Chapter 10, verse 39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. And in chapter 13, verse 29 and 30, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre, but God raised him from the dead. And you can complete this by going through the rest of the book of Acts, and you will see how often Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection, are proclaimed to Jew and Gentile, to unbelievers. And upon that basis, upon that truth, they are exhorted and called to come to Jesus Christ, to trust him, to put their faith in Christ, and to turn away from sin. The second aspect to this, the appeal to the authority of Scripture. Verse 2 says that he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. And again, we shall take a brisk stroll through Acts. We will turn to chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And in verse 25, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, and also preached the gospel. They are synonymous terms, as they're used often in the book of Acts, but the word is the basis of the preaching. And they preach from this word in chapter